Welcome once again to Local Hits. I'm Ben Albert of the Rochester Business Connections Network. Local Hits is where I rebroadcast some of the absolute best podcasts from the region, full episodes in their entirety. This way, you can gain more value from other leaders in the community, other voices in the community. Today, we listen to an episode of the Limitless Leadership Lounge, Uninterrupted. This episode is entitled A Conversation with David Horsiger. I encourage you to subscribe to the Rochester Business Connections Network if you haven't yet. And of course, when you're finished with that, check out the show notes and be sure to subscribe to the Limitless Leadership Lounge. Listen to all the episodes of the Limitless Leadership Lounge. Thanks again and enjoy the show.
I'm Rosa Marie, and I'm the founder of Marvelous Mind Academy. What it means for me to be a part of the community is everyone working together for a common goal. Community, unified, togetherness. It's important. It's essential. I care about Rochester. ESL cares about Rochester. That's how we grow. I'm here today because someone saw value in me and my vision.
Belong to something bigger. Details at ESL.org. Membership subject to eligibility.
Do you want to be a leader? In a constantly changing world, our emerging leaders look different, come from various backgrounds, and from all different age groups. Leadership is changing, and it's hard to keep up. But the good news? You can be a leader too. You can be an emerging leader. Welcome to the Limitless Leadership Lounge, a tri-generational conversation for emerging leaders. Come spend some time with us to discuss leadership from three angles. The coach, Jim Johnson. The professor, Dr. Anuma Kareem. The host, John Gehring. A monthly guest. And you.
Get in on the conversation on Facebook and Instagram.
And be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Spreaker. So come on in and make yourself comfortable.
And welcome on into this week's episode of the Limitless Leadership Lounge. I'm John Gehring, as always, joined by Dr. Anuma Kareem and the coach, Jim Johnson. And today, coach has brought along a special guest as well, an amazing guest that we are very happy to have on the program today. Coach, who do we have today?
Well, I'm very blessed to have this man in my life. His name is David Horsiger. And David runs the Trust Edge. He's been a global speaker. He's in the Hall of Fame. And he's written a couple of great books, including the one just most recently called The Trusted Leader, which I rave about. I've read through it a couple times. And it's a fable that he shares his eight C's. And we're really excited to have him. But I want to share, as much as Dave has just these unbelievable credentials as a speaker and author, Dave always talked about being the same person off stage as he is on stage. And I can really tell you from the bottom of my heart, that's why I admire Dave so much, because he's the same person. In fact, I want to give you just a very quick story and we'll get him going, is that a few years ago, I had an opportunity to go out in Minneapolis where Dave lives. And I reached out to him, and I would consider him a friend, but we're not like close, you know, bosom buddies. And I said, Dave, I'm coming out. I'm looking to maybe pick your brain a little bit. He goes, Coach, stay at our home for an extra day. And it was just an honor to meet his four children and his wife, Lisa. And Dave's the real deal. So I'm really excited to have him on. And thanks, David, for spending some time with us. How are things going for you?
It's good. Lots happening. Lots of just had the, you know, we get going into flying enormously again the next little bit here, I think. Yeah, had a nice fun weekend at home, and we had bonfires, and we worked at the horses, and we cleaned the garage, and we did life things on the farm. We had here's a unique thing for you, for your listeners. We had our first, in this batch of hens, we had the first chicken laid today, egg laid today. So there you go.
No.
That's pretty, I'm sure, exciting for all your listeners. So,
yes, yes.
There you go.
I mean, that's something they surely won't forget. So. Well, David, as we shared with you, this is a podcast where we really try to help young and emerging leaders. So we'd like you to take a little bit about your journey and with the answering the following questions. Why did you get involved with Trust? And with that in mind, is as you went through the journey early in your career, can you tell us one thing you think you did well as a leader, and then maybe one mistake you made to help young emerging leaders as they get into their leadership position?
First of all, I don't know if I handle three questions in one very well. I got to take them one at a time. So I think it was I'm going to write these down if you're going to ask me three questions at once. One is on trust, and then it's did well as a leader and would do again. There's lots of things I would do again, of course. How did I get started in trust? You know, I was on staff, you know, way back right after college on staff, and then became young director of a youth and leadership organization down in Missouri, Arkansas, middle of the country. Moved back to Minnesota, was speaking, being asked to speak. Interestingly enough, in those days, over 20 years, I have to tell my kids, this was back in the 1900s. They're like, you were around, you know. I was looking at leadership and looking at, the impact of a lot of different things. And I was speaking to college students, I was speaking to youth leaders, and then I was getting asked to do more and more in corporate. And as I was, I kind of had this epiphany, not some big spiritual epiphany, but I remember where I was. Lisa and I didn't have four kids yet. We're at an event in Arizona, and we're out on the deck of this hotel. And I was just thinking that day, the problem they think they're having is not a leadership issue. Mm-hmm. The reason people aren't following the leaders is they don't trust them. And then I started thinking about the sales issue. And I got asked to teach on leadership early on at the U.S. Coast Guard Academy and some other kind of significant places. And I was thinking, and I would start looking, and it was intuition intuitive at the time, not research based really, other than experience, right? And I was like, oh, the reason they're not following that coach is they don't trust them. The reason they're not buying that is not a sales issue. It's actually they don't trust them. The reason people don't get into that marketing message is they don't trust the message. The reason they don't, and so forth. And so it now I can say without question, with research, decades of it, and with work on six continents, we have certified partners on six continents now using our work in everything from corruption issues in East Africa to pro sports teams to the biggest companies in the world, Procter & Gamble, Walmart, a host of people use our work. Is that it's always a trust issue at the core. It's never a leadership issue. It's not a diversity and equity inclusion issue. In fact, the biggest Harvard study shows diversity on its own pits people against each other, almost any kind, unless we increase trust. Then we get great benefits, research-based benefits of diversity, equity, inclusion, belonging. So I started looking at it that way. So this is making a short story long, but basically that led to my graduate work, and that, you know, almost 20 years ago, became interesting to people much more important and known than me. And that then the first organization we did significant work in, they said they saved $2 to $4 million in attrition costs. And then we had this first group say they saved they tripled sales in 90 days. We had this other big group that you would all know the company that said we helped them, gain 11% market share in a year because of this trust work. So we saw trust as a way to get to the real outcome. And I would say today that trust is always the root cause. It's always the root issue, and most people are not solving it. They want to call it a net promoter score issue. The only way to increase your net promoter score is to increase trust. They want to do an engagement survey. The only way to increase engagement is increase trust. So I'm going off a little bit, but basically that journey has landed now where we do four things. One, we put out one of the bigger research out of North America studies on trust and leadership. We do research. Mm-hmm. Number two, I'll put number two, three, and four in a good Minnesota word for you, ICE, I-C-E. I is we inspire a shift of thinking. So we do keynotes, executive days, workshops, a lot of what you do, coach. And number two, the C, that was inspire. The C is clarify and measure. That's really the consulting arm. We created six of the, I think, the best ways you measure trust. Everything from the Enterprise Trust Index, we use at big universities and companies, all the way down to self-assessment. And that big survey is built on my grad work plus 30 years of Accenture data and benchmarked and all that. Way better than most, I think, engagement surveys and so forth. And the E is equip. And there's ways we do that, but the number one way is we certify partners, either independent coaches, executive coaches, or learning professionals or trainers inside of companies or corporations so that they can use our work to drive ongoing results. And then we built a platform and tools and ongoing training and coaching and development so they can do that ongoing. We've been with some companies for years, so it doesn't become flavor of the month. They keep applying it and so forth. So that's what we do. And that is all those four are with the mission of developing trusted leaders and organizations around the world. Wow. That's my longest answer for today. The rest of them will be short.
And I would also like to ask you one question, because I'm a CEO and a president of a nonprofit organization, both in New York and in Bangladesh. And one thing I always start is starting with trust. I trust people like from the very beginning. And I've been told by many experts like in our country and here, like, don't trust people at the very beginning. Let them earn the trust. So what would be your advice to me?
Well, I'll say a couple things. And I just remembered I only answered one of your questions, Coach. The other two aren't done. We'll come back to those later. I got them written down, though. So you got to save something so they keep listening, right? Mm-hmm. To that point, Dr. Kareem, is basically, I'll tell you something interesting about the research. So in the last couple of years' study, this was the finding on the U.S. side, and it is a global study, but I just remember this in my head. Mm-hmm. About 50% of Americans are more apt to do what you do, and that is lead with trust. Like, trust you, they trust you until you break it. Right. However, about 50% of Americans are skeptical until you build it. In other words, they lead with the opposite, which is skepticism, and you have to build it over time before they trust them. Yeah. Now, for the leader, people will say to me, well, I wish they couldn't be more like me, where they just start with trust, right? For us to understand as leaders, it doesn't matter who you're dealing with. You do the same thing either way, and that is you actively build trust, and you can. And some people might be frustrated with these over here, but the bottom line is many of those over here had something tragic happen to them before they were 20 years old. It could have been abuse. It could have been a host of other things. And whether they need you to earn it or they lead with it, you have to do the same thing either way. And that is, you know, we talk about building the eight pillars of trust or the eight pillar framework. Right. And those are research-based, not just C's, but they are denoted by these C words so that we remember them. But basically, they're each research fund. So we actively take either way. For you, I would say, hey, wonderful that you can lead with trust. Probably you had a great upbringing. Probably you had great parents. Probably you had a lot of good things happen in your life like I did. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of trust, and I still extend trust quickly to others. And then I did, before my first kid was born, put all my money into this one company, and the person lied to me, and I lost everything right before my first kid. That chinked a little bit. You know what? Maybe I should start with a little more skepticism, and then something else, and then something else. So I can understand both sides too. I think it's valuable too. Mm-hmm. I think you also, I have a chapter on this in my first book, would want, based on the weight of things, you want to discern. There's many things. It's so much more efficient to extend trust quicker. And if you can create that in your culture and company, that's much better. Mm-hmm. But I actually, if you're watching my kids, I don't want you to extend trust quickly to someone I don't know that you're handing off. I want you to be more skeptical at first. You got my kid. So where kids are concerned, where safety, where food health is concerned, I might want you to lead with a little more skepticism. Anyway, it doesn't matter. For you and I as leaders, what we want to do is build these pillars. And I think it's great that you and I can generally lead with extending trust, but it's not always a perfect science. Mm-hmm. By the way, this gets to a different point that I don't think that you weren't asking before, but when we think about trust, I think it'll be interesting for folks, is it's more complex than we might at first think. Mm-hmm. I thought at first, oh, it's just integrity, or it's just character. It's back with my grad work, right? But it's different. And so we have to kind of understand it is always the leading indicator and root cause. With confidence, I can say that. But it's not what we might think. So someone might say to me, well, trust, that's confidence. Well, it is in many ways. But if that ever looks like arrogance, it's generally not trusted. Or if I extend more trust to my team, I'll get more out of them. And if you extend too much, you can have a big challenge. Or a big one today is transparency. Just that's transparency is trust. If I can be transparent, that's true. Well, some of your kids are so transparent on social media, I don't trust them for a second. because confidentiality is also trusted. And many of us know with quarterly earnings or reporting, we have to be confidential about certain things or we're not trusted. So, so it's just a little bigger than people might think. And yet we have to understand it, because when we increase trust, we've just helped gain the greatest advantage we can have for our team, our company, our marketing, or anything else.
And I really agree with you. And I was just wondering, are there also some physical presence? Because I often see that people, I'm blessed with that honor from people, like people trust me very quickly. Yeah. So do you think that there is something also in a person that that commands trust, or people Absolutely. Are easily trusting him?
Undeniably. Yep. Okay. And we can smell, by the way, inauthenticity a mile away. So we could talk about different things. Like if I could talk about certain things, but they can be tricks and that can be manipulated. For example, I could teach you how to go from this to this. And I can tell you an open posture is generally more trusting. Right. But if I just start to learn all these traits, like some posture experts, what's the word for it? Experts. I've seen them also manipulate this, and I see very, it just takes me a little longer to see, boy, I don't trust this person that's trying to look trusted either, right? So, you know, one of the last type of people you trust is people that say, just trust me, right? I did tell you said that, because trust is not stated, it's earned. So there are definitely things, absolutely ways of being when done authentically that are absolutely more trusted. So we could talk about those. There's generalities like the one I gave as an example if people are watching. If not, you'll have to look at the video. So
We're talking with David Horsiger. David, again, you are a renowned author, renowned speaker, and someone who studies trust in leadership. And I think from the perspective of the field of media, where now, of course, everything now digital, and we all know not to trust everything on the internet. You know, even your grandma on Facebook knows that now. But we still, for some reason, take what news media, take what a lot of people on social media, we still take that as truth, as fact. And some of us, that's how we get our news. And so where has your research come in when it comes to news and when it comes to the trustworthiness of information that we encounter online?
Well, so institutional trust is down steeply in the U.S. since Watergate. So we'll get to the institution of media, but if I take in the U.S., about 80% of Americans trusted their government to do what was basically best for all. And when we did our last study, it was about 6 or 7% on the U.S. side, and now it's less. The only place that's worse is media. It's something like 2%. The problem is it's not true. What's not true is that people don't trust the media. They actually do trust their media. That's the sad thing. If they didn't, we wouldn't have these rabid, crazy people, you know, with thoughts that they have. They do trust it. Right. And that's worse. And the only people don't trust the opposite of what they hear. We are so much a function of where we get our news. Whatever you thought of the last, wherever you get your news, your thinking, which, you know, if you take basic psychology, right? Thoughts lead to desires, which lead to actions. It always starts with a thought. It doesn't start with an action. Doesn't start with a desire. Start with a thought. So where you get your thoughts from, this is why people that read great things in the morning, people that study great things, they think about great things, they meditate on great, they're greater people. They're greater to be around. People that do, but same with function of news. If I get my, you know, and now we are so manipulated and people don't want to believe it. We are absolutely, when we start, just start looking at anything. Start looking at wild animals, a wildebeest killing a giraffe, and all of a sudden your feed will be videos of wildebeest, you know, that's maybe not lions, let's take killing, right? Let's at least get something that's real. Lions killing a giraffe or something, right? Whatever it is. All of a sudden, it's all going to be that. Just watch. We get fed that. So you start clicking on this right-wing thing or this left-wing thing, and you get more of it, more and more. It just affirms what you believe, and you get into that cycle. If you want to get out of it, one way to start being more trusted is make yourself get news from a variety of sources for real. Many people think variety is they're going to listen to one thing way over here and one thing kind of in the middle. Right. Get it on way both sides or really understand, because this is a big problem. You know, anyway, there's more I could say. How many?
Yeah.
By the way, we can. This is an easy jump into polarization of our political system.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it's so important.
You know, there's several reasons that, you know, and we're always looking at spaces where people are trying to build trust, which, by the way, there are. And many people don't believe it because they're not on CNN or Fox, but there are people that did become senators and representatives that want to do good.
Right.
People wouldn't even believe that's the problem for them. There's people like one of No Labels and the Problem Solvers Caucus. But the problem is with that caucus, where they're trying to bring people together, they got 40, at least last time I spoke to them, they had 20 senators, 20 representatives, 20 Republicans, 20 Democrats. They're the unknowns that aren't, because they're not, they're actually trying to work together. Big problems in America, and this is going off the rails a little bit, but one problem is we're incentivizing a lack of trust in our government. So we're all of a sudden, I mean, term limits would help, no matter what anybody says about that, but there's also things like we're de-incentivizing working together, and both sides have done it. McConnell did it, and Reid did it. Yeah. And they both did it where if you tried to work with someone else on the other side, they stripped you of your committee assignments, which is why they got into what they're trying to do. They want that committee assignment. They want to make influence. They want to do great things. And they're stripped of them. That's never happened before the last two decades. Go back 80 years and you had the Republican and the Democrat from California duking it out on the floor and then going having a beer together, or riding the train back to California together for 4 days, and they ate together and talked together. They humanized, they treated each other as humans. Nowadays, a freshman senator gets off the duke out on the floor, and they sometimes, in some cases, in our U.S., they sleep in their office, and they have to go to fundraising from day one. So they spend all their time fundraising, not building relationships. There's no relationship other than bloodbath on the floor. And there's, you know, we could say seven other reasons. But, you know, where do you want to go?
Yeah, but and also we are observing the people, the citizens, their mind are also now in a haywire with all this information, bombardment on information. We would trust those senators who are doing the right thing, even if they are in the polar opposite.
Sorry. And that's true, but too, also, doctor, is you can, by the way, you can disagree and trust. This is a big fallacy today that we have to agree to trust. Not true. We can actually build trust and disagree. So back to our, you know, yeah, I don't know. We want to go back to those earlier questions or what?
Dave, let's go back. You know, what advice would you give to a young leader that's just starting out? What's the first step or maybe two steps you would recommend? Yeah. That they do?
So, and I'll tie in your earlier questions that I didn't answer, Coach. And that is this, the biggest problem I see in leadership is doing it alone. Mm. People, it's lonely at the top. If somebody says that to me, this is what I would say to them. And it's not easy. And I'm not saying it out of spite. It's not easy. I know people are doing it alone and the reasons they are, but generally speaking, if you're doing leadership alone, you're doing it wrong. Mm. You have to have at least two things. One, a mentor, and two, accountability that is real.
True.
Many people have yes boards. I'm talking about, like, this weekend, I went for a 3-hour walk with my mentor on Saturday morning, one of them. And I have many, but he can speak to me. He can get in my grill. He can talk about this or that. I also have a group, two groups of, one's more of a mastermind. That's great. You can grow from that. An accountability group's different in that they're like, you know, this group, I've been with them for, I guess it's like 28 years. We meet together. They talk about, you know, am I living out my, am I treating my wife how I should be in the midst of, am I living out what I say on stage and off stage with my kids? You talk about that virtue. It's one of our values in our company to live, be the same on stage and off. In our business, there's plenty of people that look one way on stage and look totally different off stage. you know, the personally, we believe a lot about personal leadership is reflected, you know, you have to lead yourself well to lead others well, and I'm totally imperfect at this, but you have to, there is a part of that that plays out that we try to do that. So that I would have I would just know this, have a mentor, be a mentor is great too, but have a mentor, at least one and maybe seven, right. And find an accountability group for life that you are willing to be authentic with and share your challenges. And then the next best step is get feedback both from clients and from your team. If you have a team, I mean, sadly for me, sometimes things get to a point that I don't want them to for me to get to feedback from my team. And I see, oh my goodness, I just, gave way too much work to one person. They were working late every night, blah, 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 you know, all this stuff. I didn't even realize it. She didn't complain. She's just doing a great job. One thing that I have a challenge with this is taking the space to get feedback, right? Mm-hmm. So that's something else. I would ask for those three or four components, right? Try to get feedback. That's fresh for me right now, but also having an accountability group, because even if I get off mission just slightly, every time I meet with them, boom, how you doing here? Conviction, right? Okay.
This is the Limitless Leadership Lounge. This week, talking with our guest, David Horsiger. Podcasts are supposed to be informational, but fun. And too many podcasts these days forget the fun. So what's the point? Jeff Butcher and the Butcher Del Rey podcast is all about fun.
That's literally why Jeff started it.
Going back to his roots to talk pop culture, movies, comics, and food. Mm.
Yeah, maybe don't listen when you're super hungry.
Good idea. A variety of topics, a variety of fun on the Butcher Del Rey Project. Available on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, and a whole lot more. Anywhere you get your podcasts, tune in to the Butcher Del Rey Project and have some fun with us.
To those who step up to work the sunrise shift, power through the double shifts, or conquer the overnighters, McDonald's wants to serve you a tasty breakfast at a great price. Enjoy a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, a warm chicken McGriddles, or a flaky McChicken biscuit for just $2 each. Swing by McDonald's today. No matter the shift, we're happy to serve you. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Remember the first time you tried a double cheeseburger or a McChicken? They were perfect. You were perfect together. You've been BFFs ever since. The nothing is more perfect or deal. Now get a double cheeseburger for only $2. Or get a McChicken or any size soft drink, just $1 each. When you get all your faves for just a few bucks, nothing could be more perfecter. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with combo meal.
I'm Rosa Marie, and I'm the founder of Marvelous Mind Academy. What it means for me to be a part of the community is everyone working together for a common goal. Community, unified, togetherness. It's important. It's essential. I care about Rochester. ESL cares about Rochester. That's how we grow. I'm here today because someone saw value in me and my vision.
Belong to something bigger. Details at ESL.org. Membership subject to eligibility.
Back to our tri-generational conversation for emerging leaders. Come on, let's head into the Limitless Leadership Lounge.
Back here on the Limitless Leadership Lounge with John Gehring, Dr. Anuma Kareem, and Coach Jim Don Johnson. And today, joined by renowned author and speaker, he's a TEDx speaker, which is super cool. David Horsiger is joining us. David, we really want to go back to what you said about how our society is de-incentivizing trust. And I think that was a really powerful statement. And you backed that up with some great examples from our government, but how else is our society de-incentivizing trust? I mean, I think about pop culture. I think about this mindset that we seem to have in business of very crude, cutthroat, you know, doesn't matter how you get to the top, as long as you trample on people and get to the top, it doesn't matter. Are those some other ways? And what are some other ways in our society that we're really devaluing trust and trampling all over it?
Well, I'll tell you one way that comes to mind, and that is this, the lack of humility. You know, I believe in the Bible, okay? There's something in the Bible that says this many times, by the way, multiple times. The Lord opposes the proud. God, in essence, God opposes the proud. I believe in many ways our government's being opposed. In many ways, my leadership, I have been proud, and I can often thankfully tell sometimes, and that's opposed. If I'm proud with my kids even, I get opposed by a teenager, let me tell you. And I have to look back at myself, because it is when I get proud, because I think I'm good at some things. And I think a healthy humility is, notice I am good at something. I should be doing those things I'm good at. But that can easily, especially in businesses where we're on stage, where we're sometimes flown in private jets and sedans and, you know, whatever, it's easy. So if I was going to give a warning to young leaders and the reason for accountability, and I'm tying this to pop culture, John, too, and I'll tell you, this is what I hate about pop culture, because you've got Coach here who loves sports, too. You know what I hate? I hate my kids watching pro sports like football, because you know what they see differently than 20 years ago or 40? When we saw, I don't ever remember someone stopping, posing for the camera, and pointing just at themselves. I do remember people spiking the ball in excitement. Fine. I remember people giving hugs and high fives. I remember a lot of things. I do not remember until the last two decades, every time someone going like this. Me, it's all me, it's all me, it's all me. Are you kidding me? That's the worst thing for sports and the worst things for truth. They didn't get to the end zone alone. Yeah. So this is if I was going to give a trap, the biggest trap for young leaders, it is ego.
Yeah.
Humility. If you don't stay humble, you will be opposed, and it will affect you, and it will hurt you, and it'll hurt your leadership.
Hey, Dave, you mentioned earlier about leading yourself. Can you share a few ideas that you do to lead yourself better?
Well, I think of it in terms of, you know, I have a mission statement. I have some things I come back to. I mean, I think that accountability group's a big deal. I talk to my best friend who's on that probably every other day. This is very uncommon for guys, I think. And so there's realignment times. Because, by the way, listen clearly, I'm imperfect at everything I teach. I just know it's true from the research. All this trust stuff, it is so perfectly true and amazing, and yet I live it out imperfectly. But I think another big deal that at least to some degrees I've done sometimes, and that is I've created a safe place for my own team that's mostly very young, many of them, to be open with me. I think back to one thought, like I teach this process, ODC, and I'm very bad at it. But they know they can put, the team knows. So at least at some level I've created safety where they know they can push back and say, so you got to give us the ODC then, you know, so that it's a process we teach. It doesn't really matter the process. The point is that if you can create some amount of safety so you can be better, that's another thing. I'm having trouble here, Coach. What was the question actually? Because I had something else I was going to say.
You know, leading yourself, you mentioned, is so important.
So I think, you know my story of losing 52 pounds in five months. I mean, I believe leadership in many ways is a lot of parts of us. So I'm doing things, you know, daily spiritually. I'm doing things physically. I'm doing things with how I eat or don't eat. I almost never drink a calorie, as an example. I definitely don't. I have an absolute on not drinking a calorie on the plane. My problem wasn't actually a lot of what people might think. It was soda. So it doesn't matter. I have no legalism about any of the a lot of things people drink. It's just I had to change the way I looked at that for my own health. So there's things. Here's one thing I run through in my mind. I'll give you a little takeaway here. I think of, am I cultivating and planting my seeds? S-E-E-D-S. And you might have heard this online, but the S is, am I sleeping enough? Am I getting sleep? And I work at that when I'm traveling. I have a time coming up very shortly. I'm flying twice this week, but just that next week, I think it's like 11 days or something, and it's back and forth and back and forth. It's like 10 or 11 days. So sleep. Am I eating right? And I know what that means for me. I got to make sure I get 5 green vegetables a day, and I'm, certain things, okay? And I'm not eating certain things. Am I exercising, moving a little bit? And it depends. Now I've got this, just had an MRI and this rotator cuff surgery. I can't do certain things. I fell out of a tree, believe it or not, doing something with my kids on Labor Day. And so I was on crutches and had a boot for a little while. So it's like, man, I'm ruining my own workout schedule, but getting back to it in some way. The D is drink water, making sure I'm drinking at least a gallon and a half of water a day. It's right there. Making that easy. And the S is source of strength. For me, it might be faith. For others, it might be friends or whatever. But that I'm really getting a source of strength beyond myself. Because people start to get a source of strength from their work even. They often are worse at work. So, and there's ways to do each of those. Am I, in rhythms, of course. So, I'm sure there's more to that too.
Yeah, and David, I'm just piggybacking on when you talked about humility. And this is so common in all the religion. I'm Muslim, and in our Quran, it says that you have to get rid of your ego. Mm. So if you have one ounce of ego, you are not going to enter the heaven. So despite knowing all these things, many people, we are still riding on our ego. And that day I got a question while I was giving a training to one of the organizations in Bangladesh, and young man, he said that my supervisor, he doesn't trust me to come up with a new way of doing things that can cut cost. Because he is the superior, he has that position and power, he just thinks that he cannot listen or take some kind of information or feedback from the juniors. So in this case, he was asking, like, how do I make him trust me? So in this scenario, how would that young man earn the trust, or is it the supervisor? What can the supervisor do differently to have that kind of effective environment for success?
Well, once again, there's two things here. Number one, I'll say something about ego. Mm-hmm. This is personal experience. And somebody might have said this to me, so to give credit to somebody beyond my brain, but it's basically you can't have humility and gratitude in the same heartbeat. Mm. So if I'm grateful, you can't have ego. You can't have arrogance. Mm-hmm. You can't have arrogance and gratitude in the same moment. Mm-hmm. You can't hold them together. If you're holding gratitude right now, you can't be arrogant. Because you just feel it's like, because grateful people, they're not entitled, they're grateful, they're not right. Pessimist, they're not. So that's that's one thought on that whole issue. How can we increase gratitude? There's some ways we do it. Lisa and I have this time. We often in the morning, the alarm goes off, we hold hands and we talk about, hey, what are you grateful for today? Or at night before we go to bed, we hold hands in our bed and we say, what are you grateful for from today? Whatever. So that's one little thing that can be valuable. As far as the, if I'm understanding the other point right, it was convincing a leader to do anything, right?
Like to trust that person, young man.
Yeah. So convincing a leader to trust them, I have to do, that's why I'm going to run through the pillars. If I'm going to run through the pillars of trust. So am I clear? Am I clear about this? Because we don't trust the ambiguous and we don't trust the overly complex. So right. If I overcomplexified something, because you and I that have taught in university, we love to be complex, right? We lose trust whenever we overcomplexify. Okay. And I run through the next bit. Okay. Does this show compassion to them? Do I honor, especially if it's my senior, am I honoring them? Am I showing my intent is beyond myself? Okay. Mm. Then is it character? Am I on brand for character? By the way, a question ties back to the very front on the character pillar would be for young leaders to ask, is anything we're doing incentivizing against the character we want to have? Is it, we saw that happen at a big bank out here in Minnesota where they were incentivizing the salespeople in a way that didn't believe, you know, they didn't want people to act, and it cost them billions. You know, but it's the same with the corruption issues in, let's say, East Africa, where we've done some work where until we stop incentivizing bribery, why would we get less, even though that's costing their GDP every day? Anyway, different question. So so I'm going through the list. So character. Oh, is it showing my, are we showing competency here? Do I have the capability to do it? Am I showing commitment to that leader? So I'm honoring them and showing the commitment. Am I connecting with them or showing connection to our mission or our people or something? Am I showing results? The contribution pillar really is all about results. Am I showing them how this will get results? Now, you want to win with a leader, by the way, in this fallen world we're in. Show the results to the company, but also, and more importantly, show the results for how it will make them look better. If you want to have your senior leader change, the problem is you're dealing with senior leaders with ego. So you have, if you can show the result to the organization, that's great. But if you can show now, hey, Mr. or Mrs. blah, 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 this, look at this, this will make you look good for blah, blah. Okay, well, Mom, maybe we should, that's a good idea I just had, right? So, and then consistency, is it consistent in as far as who you want to be? I'm going to run through that list. The one outlier here is I would ask, basically sometimes we push people to say, if we're convincing up, so we don't have the authority to just say, do this differently. We are going to ask those people come up with five whys. This is not the whys that Simon Sinek, which is great, purpose, all that's great. Right. But I'm talking about for change. When I say, okay, what are why? Here's what I would do if I want you to do this, senior leader. Here's why it would save us money here. Here's why it would make you look good here. Here's why it would help us do this. All of a sudden, that leader's like, okay, they didn't just say they wanted this and whine about it and say they want it so they can have a better coffee shop and, you know, whatever in their in the office. They gave good reasons, and now I might consider it. And plus, I'll look good.
Right. Right. Great. Yeah.
Just that's, a few ideas.
Yeah. Thank you so much. It helps because I gave, I also told him this along those lines that tell him and try to feed his ego saying that this is how you will look good. So, yeah.
And what I want to do, by the way, there's a lot of, I'm in some groups these days with flattering, like overly flattering. Like, I don't even trust them. It's like there's some group there. There's a group that Jim, Coach, and I are a part of. They all, even on Fed, oh, I love this for you. That's so amazing. No, they're not. They're not all amazing at all those things. They say it all the time. You're the best speaker. No, that one isn't that great of a speaker, actually, or whatever it is, right? They're this, they're that. It's over the top. So when you say, I don't want to give this untrusted flattering, but I do want to give, this is why you would do better. That's real. You do this, you can even take credit for it, but that would be better for you because, and it, what's more, it's better for us, right? So I want that authentic. I don't, I really am against this idea of falsely feeding egos.
Yeah. And we're missing the authenticity. I feel that authenticity is so important to build trust. And you just be yourself. And I think people will see that. And I think you can build that trust both ways from there. Just I just wanted to ask this question because I am a Penn State alum. And I needed to.
Love Penn State. They're a big point.
Yeah. I needed to ask you this because while when I was in Penn State, Joe Powell was the huge thing. And he is one of the victorious. He was one of the victorious coach. We even got him signed a football for my class and raised fund and all those kind of things. But as soon as in 2011, when the thing with the child sex abuse came out, he just fell like the 420 victories or nothing mattered. What would, if you could have like a time machine and it was that time when the coach was coach learned about the thing and he might be his friend and it was a different era. All those things are there. But what could he have done differently or how could he, even in that position, can he again build that trust or once the trust is gone, it is gone forever?
Well, We have in the first book, there's 15-step process. In our newer work, there's a 10-step process for rebuilding trust. Mm-hmm. But let me, for this short time together, boil it down to one thing. There's only one way to rebuild trust at the whether you're an oil spill or whatever. You might have to do these other things if you're a big company, but whether you're an individual or an organization, it comes down to one thing, and it is not the apology. I'm not saying you don't need an apology. Apologize out loud, that opens up communication. But as you know, we've had all kinds of people say, I'm sorry I'm late. No, you're not, you're late every time. I don't trust you because you say you're sorry you're late. You're late every time. Remember, coach, that guy comes to practice, I'm sorry I'm late again. I'm sorry, coach, I'm sorry, no. So it's okay to apologize. That's a part of the process, but the only way to ever rebuild trust is to make and keep a new commitment.
Mm.
So I'm actually, I was talking to the chancellor of a university today who has a massive problem.
Mm.
And he, his apology, said all these things and they don't buy it. They don't trust the administration. And the big process for him is, how are you going to be able to make and keep a different commitment so your campus is safe?
Right.
For all people, right? So it's these kind of things. There's a lot we could go back and say, you know, to Joe and to, you know, all, but you, what he would, if he was going to give the chance, and really what Penn State to some degree has done and needs to do is to make and keep a new commitment.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Dave, we really appreciate your time with us. Two things. I'm going to finish with one last question. Before I do that, could you share with people that would like to connect you the best places to go for that?
TrustEdge.com. You can find everything. You can learn how to spell my last name, and that'll get you anywhere else you want to go. But we're active mostly on LinkedIn, but we're active all over. And DavidHorsager.com is kind of the speaking site. But if you want to see our deeper work, TrustEdge.com. TrustEdge, E-D-G-E. And you can find where to go from there.
Thank you. And the last question for today is, if you could interview one leader, dead or alive, who would it be, and what's the first question you would ask that person?
That is a great question. I don't know who would be in this quick of a moment, but, you know, Colin Powell just passed away this last week, and I got to hear him speak several times. I don't believe at those backstage meetings I got to shake his hand, but I really, in what I've read and what I've known, and I've knew some people in the White, known some mentor folks in the White House then, I would love to meet him. I'd love to talk to him. And I probably would ask him, because he was, what an amazing, here's an amazing individual that brought Republican and Democrat, brought this way of dealing with Reagan, who might have been a little more quick to act on things, and had him pause on things. And let's think about, let's try diplomacy first. I would have asked him, I would have asked him, what were the most polar people you had to bring together, and how did you do it?
Right.
How did you bring polar people to a consensus that was the best for all?
Hmm.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Well, thank you, David. This has been wonderful. Really appreciate your time and wisdom.
By the way, I got to say this before you end that. Colin Powell publicly said, the essence of leadership is trust.
Yes.
I think he was onto something.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
a good testimonial for your work. So thank you, my friend. It's great to see you. Look forward to catching up again soon. So thanks so much.
Thank you so much,
absolutely.
David. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much, David.
Keep up your great work.
And thank you, and you as well. TrustEdge.com, DavidHorsager.com. We'll have those in the show notes. So if you're interested, I'm pointing down here. I don't know why. Scroll down and you'll find those links in the show notes. Thanks again, David. And make sure you join us next week as well on the Limitless Leadership Lounge.
Thank you for joining us this week at the Limitless Leadership Lounge. To listen to this episode again and to find previous episodes, check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Spreaker. You can also get in on the conversation. Find us on Facebook and Instagram. Then tell three of your friends to join in as well. Coach, Renuma, and John will be back again next week for another Tri-Generational Leadership Discussion. We'll talk to you then on the Limitless Leadership Lounge.
I'm Rosa Marie, and I'm the founder of Marvelous Mind Academy. What it means for me to be a part of the community is everyone working together for a common goal. community unified, togetherness. It's important. It's essential. I care about Rochester. ESL cares about Rochester. That's how we grow. I'm here today because someone saw value in me and my vision.
Belong to something bigger. Details at ESL.org. Membership subject to eligibility.